listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
There's more than one way to support the WCNO ministry. Prayerfully and financially are only the two most obvious. But did you realize how important it is for you to let the programmers and corporate underwriters know that you heard about them right here at WCNO Radio? That's right. Always mention the call letters WCNO when you write, call, or visit the ministries or supporters of WCNO. That's WCNO. Are you tired of trying to rid your home of ants, roaches, and spiders? Have rodents invaded your attic? Are you frustrated paying for service that never really seems to work? Bug Off Pest Control is there to help. After all, whose house is it anyway? With Bug Off, bugs can run, but they can't hide. David and Esther Lunder of Bug Off Pest Control believe in the ministry of WCNO. Licensed and insured, serving Martin and St. Lucie counties. Bug Off Pest Control, a corporate underwriter of WCNO, available at 343-1177.
We have selfishness in the community of Christ. Don't be so selfish, because what you're demonstrating is unfaithfulness to God, because you've elevated yourself above God. That is nothing but idolatry. Think about it.
Welcome to Caption His Conscience with Pastor Bernard King Sr. Pastor Bernard is Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. The focus of our ministry is to be more than ordinary servants for an extraordinary God. This is your host, Tom Moon. In today's program, we're going to continue the series on the book of Hosea. Pastor Bernard will be teaching from Hosea chapter 8, verses 7 through 14. We also want to remind parents that Hosea includes adult-related themes that may not be appropriate for young children. So please use discretion in allowing your children to listen to this message. In today's program, Pastor Bernard will continue his discussion on practices that place God's people in a position to be punished. We're going to pick up with Pastor Bernard's challenge to have a grateful heart. Now here's Pastor Bernard with a continuation of the eviction of God and the embracing of idolatry, part two.
Do you enjoy a glad heart? Do you enjoy a grateful heart? Do you know that the clothes that you have on your back and the house that you live in and the car that you drive and your very health that you enjoy comes from the grace of God? Don't you forget that, no matter what size square footage that you live in, it was from God. It's by His grace. You see, Deuteronomy chapter 28 communicates, if you read the whole chapter, it communicates the conditions and the choices. There was conditions and there was choices. And what was the choice? To serve God or not to serve God. Because if you serve God, then you get these blessings, these conditions of blessings and prosperity and protection. But if you choose not to serve God, then you get the consequences. You see, what I know about our great God of the Scriptures, the God of the Bible, not the God of the culture, what I know about the God of the Bible, the Word of God, that God chose a specific people group. God chose the nation of Israel to reveal who He was to the nations. God wanted to manifest Himself through Israel, and today His heart is still on Israel. Don't you forget that, church people. Right now, I borrow a sports metaphor. You see, the nation of Israel is on the bench. They're not out there being the leading missionaries or in the game, if you will, because of their unbelief. They've yet to accept Jesus as Messiah. But one day they will. Amen. And it'll be, and all Israel will be Israel. But until then, we are supposed to provoke them to envy, Christian people. We're supposed to be the ones that point them to the Messiah with our lives. And it's not an anti-Semitic attitude I'm talking about. It's an attitude of prayer and grace and praying and pointing them to the Bible, the Jesus in the Old Testament. So Deuteronomy 28, see, God said, I want the world to see myself. I will manifest myself through the nation of Israel. And how would this look? Well, God will reveal who he is by blessing Israel, how bountiful they are, how great they are as a nation, how he will make them a powerful nation. They will see God, and all the nations say, wow, look at the God that Israel served, that fight the battles for them, that blesses them, that provides wine and oil and corn and the provisions and flocks. And oh, they're blessed. What a blessed nation. God will manifest himself that way. Or God also will manifest himself. Look at the judgment that this God is bringing on the people of Israel. God said, you know what? I'm going to show them that I am who I am, and I say what I say I'm going to do. God will judge them, but yet he will still allow them to survive in that judgment. Everybody say mercy. But the choice is yours, Israel, and I say to you, the choice is yours, Christian. The choice is yours if you want to serve the God of the Bible or not. And in Hosea, in the book of Hosea, let's turn back to Hosea now. In the book of Hosea, chapters 7 through 8, it is very clear that Israel is still making bad choices. It is clear about her choices, and it will be just as clear about her consequences. You see, it was Israel's pretentious profession that points to her spiritual poverty. We got buildings upon buildings all over South Florida. There are houses of worship all over the place. But do they possess the power of God, the grace of God, the love of God? Do they worship and do they communicate, and are they teaching the Jesus of Scripture, not the Jesus of the culture? You see, I like to say, submit to you that Israel, just like many do today, many professing people of faith, Israel was promoting what I call, you heard me say it, a salad bar belief, where I pick and choose what I want to believe about God. I don't believe God is anti-same-sex because he believes in love. Are you picking and choosing your God with that position? I believe that any woman should have her own right of her own body when it comes down to her reproduction. Again, are you choosing the God that you want to be comfortable with? I believe that, you know, we don't have to give people the gospel. We don't have to teach the Bible. Just make sure that they got water to plant their plants and they got good irrigation, and we can go rescue a lot of the kids, a lot of the women and the children out of sex trafficking. Now, let me tell you something. This pastor, I understand the gravity, and I understand the significance of those type ministries where you're going to rescue and say the sex trafficking industry and go on the mission fields and make sure they have running water. But can I tell you something? If you don't tell them about Jesus Christ, what good is it? Yes, you rescue them from the slavery and the oppression and the denigration of the sex trade, but did you rescue them from that tyrant called Satan? You make sure that they got running water to drink in a disenfranchised country where there's poverty. But let me ask you something. Did you drink them? Did you give them the cup of the living water, which is Jesus? And the sad thing is that churches are giving out contaminated water filled with the bacteria of humanism and psychology, fleshly oriented positions. And not the word, because Jesus said we are clean through the word he's spoken to us. And Jesus is the living word. So Israel, at this time in their history, they're at this place where they have a salad bar belief, where they choose and pick what they want. Like people today, well, I choose and pick what I like about what Jesus said. I know Jesus said born again, but I'm not gonna be born again because I believe Jesus is supposed to be a little bit more flexible. I know what Jesus said, take up the cross and follow me daily. I like my money, I like my stuff, I like my things, but I'm gonna do what I want to do. That crucifixion, that dying stuff, don't give me that, Pastor. Don't talk about me dying or anything. Pastor, no, Pastor, I need to indulge. You know, eat, drink, and be merry. And if I die, I go party. No, Jesus said he's the only way. Jesus said, take up the cross and follow me. Jesus said this radical statement, you must lose your life in order to gain it. The world says, don't tell me how to live. Don't tell me how to spend my money. This is my kids. These are my kids. That's my husband. That's my wife. This is my stuff. I do everything in this life to meet every appetite that I want. I will pursue whatever I want. I want to have fun, Pastor. I just want to enjoy life, Pastor. But God says, you're not really living till you're dead. We live when we don't live for ourselves. Did you hear me? You're alive when you don't live for yourself. If they didn't have a salad bar belief, I submit to you, they have what I call a Santa Claus faith. What's a Santa Claus? Santa Claus faith, Pastor? Well, I see God as this cosmic Santa Claus that gives me whatever I want. He gives me whatever I want. God is obligated to give me what I want. I want my presence. I submit to you, this false belief is bolstered by Israel's idolatrous heart. In our last study, we talked about the negative consequences of idolatry. And this morning, we're going to look at some of these eight practices that invited the judgment or the punishment of God. So let's look at number one. Number one, if you take a note real quickly, number one. We find it in verse 7 of our text. Sowing the wind. Sowing the wind. Now, we know in the agricultural, what we're going to move into is farm language, agricultural language now, about planting and sowing. And the sower, we know in the New Testament, went out to sow seed, and it fell in different settings. Well, these guys were sowing in the wind. Let me explain. You see, the phrase sow in the wind points to the futility and the fruitlessness of their idolatrous worship. That sowing, God says, you are worshiping idols that can't do nothing for you. As I said a couple weeks ago, they got eyes, they can't see your pain. They got a heart, they have arms, they have legs, they have feet, but they would never hold you. They would never point things to you. It's just an adamant, cold object. What you're creating is just an idol. It's useless, it's fruitless, it will not provide. It has zero ability to help you. You see, so the wind represents the lack of substance and credibility. The wind in this passage, it can't help you. God says in verse 7, they're sowing the wind, and guess what they're going to do, Pastor? As Paul spelled it out in the New Testament economy, you will reap what you sow. Did you know we're all farmers? We are all farmers. Young people. Everybody, what kind of seed you plant? What are you sowing? Here's what I know to be true, and it's just as huge as the law of gravity. You plant jealousy, envy, hatred, bitterness, unforgiveness, fleshly sin. You plant that kind of seed, guess what kind of crop you're going to get? And it will impact all your relationships, professionally and personally. The Bible makes it very clear. Those that sow in the flesh will reap death, but those that sow in the spirit will reap life everlasting. And Israel is sowing seed that has no life, but will just invite them to destruction. Because the whirlwind, they're sowing the wind, but there's also a whirlwind. See, they shall reap the whirlwind. You see that in the passage? The whirlwind is a picture of the destruction. Destruction is, the whirlwind represents destruction. I want you to think about a Category 5, F5 tornado. Is that destructive? You can have all the money, all the resources, your nice 10,000 square foot home, have all these things, but let a tornado come through here, the F5. It takes and removes away everything, does it not? So God says, Israel, you've got all these temples, you got all these nice buildings, you have all these resources, you got all these crops, you have all this livestock, you have all these things, but I'm coming in like an F5 tornado. And in a contemporary sense, you got your life savings, you got your 401k, you got your houses, you got your capacity of vacation. Those are all well and good. But if that is your security, God says, I'm wiping it out. Why, God? Because I love you. I'm chastening them. You see, they're sowing in the wind. Second point, their self-preservation would be destructive. Their self-preservation would be self-destructive. Their self-preservation would be self-destructive. They're sowing the wind, number one, sowing the wind. Self-preservation. You know, so many people want to be independent today. They think that they can protect themselves. You see, Israel had already demonstrated in this chapter, in verses 4 and 6 specifically, Israel had already appointed their own kings that God had nothing to do with. We make our own bosses. We vote our own leaders in. We don't need your advice on this from God. We can handle this ourselves. Self-appointed. Kind of like what we do in our political process. We appoint people, that don't mean they came from God. Planning, this planting metaphor, I love it. He's talking about, hey, you're preserving yourself and your crop that you're planting, all that crop will be worthless. There'll be, picture this, I'm a Georgia boy, so there were some places that we got to see corn stalks grow up. And when the corn grow up, you're looking for the ear of corn. So I want you to imagine, you got the beautiful green stalks standing up majestically, standing up tall, but there is no ears on it. What good is it? And here's what they have. No ears, no fruit. You won't enjoy it. You won't enjoy it. And if by chance, because of your idolatry, if by chance, if you do get any ears of corn, you still won't be able to consume that because I'm sending strangers in to eat that up. Now let me ask you a question. Why in the world would you want to be in an adversarial position with a holy God? Why would you want to be an opponent of God? Ask yourself that. Self-appointed leaders, self-preservation, self-destruction. Point number three, move in verse 8 now. They'll be swallowed up by her surrendership of her sovereignty. Israel will be swallowed up by her surrendership of her sovereignty. You see, God set Israel as a nation above all nations, but because of what I call a fatalistic foreign policy action, a fatalistic foreign policy move, she started relying and mixing with the other nations. And we see that in the 7th chapter for homework, 7th chapter, verses 8 through 12. Instead of calling and trusting on God Almighty, the very God that parted the Red Sea, the very God that did those miracles and signs, 10 plagues on Egypt, on Pharaoh, all of a sudden, he's not as powerful anymore. Instead of trusting God, we need help from other nations. One of those nations was the Assyrians. And what's going to happen is that these foreign nations that you are trusting in, because you're surrendering your sovereignty to be governed by Almighty God and to be governed by His convictions and governed by His commandments. You chose the commandments of man. You lock and you place yourself in subjection to a foreign power instead of following the all-powerful God. God says, you know what? You will be swallowed up. Not only that, that word vessel in our text is not talking about a ship or a mode of transportation. It's talking about a container or a pot. And God says, you're just to reduce yourself. See, I can't get no pleasure. That verse where there is no pleasure, you're just a broken pot to me. That's no good. What good is a pot when it can't hold anything in it? You're just a broken, fragmented pot. And I can't get any pleasure. I can't get any usage from you. Let me ask you a question. Are you sitting here this morning and you reduce yourself to a broken pot? We're supposed to be vessels for the Master's use. Can God use you? Or are you broken with your own self form of idolatry or whatever your challenge, that sin is in your life? Point number four, God is very descriptive and He gets very creative in His assessment of behavior. Verse four, He says, you know what? She's stubborn and self-seeking like a wandering wild donkey. I don't know about you, but I've had a lot of donkeys in my life. And I've been a donkey myself. Stubborn, self-seeking like a wandering of a wild donkey. Why did you give them such a descriptor, God? Verse 9, for they are gone up to Assyria like a wild ass alone by himself. Ephraim hath hired lovers. You see, Israel's attempt to align and to join Assyria, God says, you're like a wild donkey. It's interesting why God would pick a wild donkey. You know why? Let me tell you about donkeys. What I do know about some of them. Everybody say stubborn. Are they stubborn? God used an animal well known for its desire to be stubborn, independent, make its own rules, won't be ruled by no master, don't want to stay inside a corral in a fence. It loves the wild and just run wild. Sounds like people I know in church. Just a wild animal. Maybe you've heard the expression. You are stubborn as a... Israel, you hear the voice of the prophet? He's calling you to repent. God's calling you to repent, and you are so stubborn and set in your way. You know it's very difficult to work with a person who is stubborn in their ways. Well, God says, I can't work with you. You're stubborn. And not only that, there's another indictment that we see in verse 9. Ephraim, one of the most popular and strong tribes of Israel, Ephraim had hired lovers. Now, when God's speaking of love, now, we have children here, so I got to be very careful. Israel, spiritually speaking, was also compared to a woman in that profession who procures her money by sexual means. Israel is compared to an harlot. That she sought out, you seeking other counsel, you're seeking other advice, you're seeking protection from other nations and not me. You're being unfaithful to me. So you're seeking out help, seeking out other lovers that you're paying money for. Our time is swiftly leaving us, but I want to close with this thought as we look at verse 4 and this stubborn and self-seeking, wandering wild donkey. Are we stubborn, church? Spiritually speaking, who have you been sleeping with? Are you loyal to your Lord or yourself? It's easy to sleep with the enemy. I'm not talking about your boss. I'm not talking about your wife. I'm not talking about your husband either. It's easy to sleep with the enemy, yourself. You see, when you are consistently and deliberately displaying selfishness, we have selfishness in the community of Christ. Do you realize if you are living with a selfish person and you are living and acting and displaying that everything's always about you? You make sure you wear them out, but you won't let them have any rest. But you make sure you get your rest. You make sure that you are pampered. You make sure that you're taken care of. You make sure that you got money in your pocket. You make sure that you eat the finest of things. Don't be so selfish, because what you're demonstrating is unfaithfulness to God, because you've elevated yourself above God. That is nothing but idolatry. Think about it. As I was prepping for this message, God brought that to my attention. He said, Bernard, let the body know. They're selfish with their money. They're selfish with their service. They're selfish with their lives. And when they do that, Pastor, they're not being unfaithful to you. They're being unfaithful to me. It breaks my heart. Christ came that you might have life and have it abundantly. And he wants to bless you. However, you won't put yourself in a position to be blessed. Here's a good way to start. Die to yourself, take up the cross, follow Jesus daily. And you experience his blessings. If you're not close to God, how in the world will you stay close to anybody else? If you're too busy serving yourself, when will you ever have time to serve God? And when you do serve God, you give him how much time? How much effort? Pastor, I serve God with all my heart. I love him with all my heart, my mind, and my soul. Oh, yeah, let me look at your bank account. Let me see what's going on with your activity. Let me see what you prioritize. Then I know if you love me or not. How much are you involved in church? And I'm not just talking about church attendance. I'm talking about investment in the church, where you are sacrificially giving and serving for the Lord. We all, even this pastor, got to make sure I guard my heart about that. Because I don't want to be like this wayward donkey, doing church the way I want. And if God tells me something I don't like, hey, I just walk away from his rules. I just walk away from his restrictions. I just walk away from his accountability, like the stubborn mule. And if I can't get that done, if that's not good enough, then I just go and find me another God that'll take care of me, but not the God of the Bible.
We thank you for joining us today for the continuation of Pastor Bernard's message, The Eviction of God in the Embracing of Idolatry, Part 2. In today's message, Pastor Bernard challenged us to perform a personal evaluation to identify any acts of unfaithfulness to God in our own lives. We challenge you to ask yourself, spiritually speaking, are you loyal to your Lord or to yourself? Do you make yourself available to be used by God? Are you stubbornly pursuing your own plan over the Lord's? If so, this is selfishness. Selfishness is a form of idolatry that will separate you from God. To learn more about having a relationship with God, visit our website at cbfdelray.org. We invite you to join us for the next program on Thursday at 1 p.m. Capturing His Conscience is a ministry of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. This ministry is supported by listeners like you. If Capturing His Conscience has been a blessing to you, please prayerfully consider visiting our website and making a donation to support the work of the Lord. Until next time, this is Tom Moon encouraging you to be more than an ordinary servant for an extraordinary God.